Welcome back, guys. DGS. This is your big 307. Day. Listen to the bass part here. Go ahead and turn it up. Like a dream come true. So won't you smile for again? I think it's kind of a cool story. So Steely Dan just hired all studio musicians, session guys, best of the best. And they brought in this bass player, and he thought that slapping was the right way to go in the song. And the two guys from Steely Dan did not want that. They told him just to play with his fingers like normal. And so on that recording you're hearing right there, he just turned around where they couldn't see him, and he slapped it. And they're like, thank you. That's what we're looking for. And now it's on the pen. Isn't that cool?
Sounds like he was smarter than they were.
A little subterfuge. Let's do a DGS happy hour. Anyone want to kick it off?
Oh, I got something.
Okay.
They're making some changes at the Alamo Draft House, and a lot of folks are not happy. Have you seen this, Andrew?
I have. This is a bummer. This is tough.
So as of right now, if you go to the Alamo Draft House and you want to order food, there will be a server comes up to your seat and takes your order just as they would in a restaurant with a notepad and a pen. And this is largely in part to not have screens out, not have distractions during the movie. Well, Alamo Drafthouse is now saying that's too distracting to have the servers coming in and out. So they're creating a system where you can order on a screen, whether it's your phone or something else. So you put the order in there, you pay on your phone. A server will still bring you your food and bring you your drinks. So there's going to be that interruption because obviously you have to receive the food in some way because it's a table service thing. But they're eliminating the analog version of ordering food at Alamo Draft House. And people are upset because they're saying, well, now there's just going to be a bunch of screens open all over the place, and that's going to be way more distracting than having a server come in and take it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A couple thoughts. Alamo's whole thing is don't talk, don't have your phone out. Those are the two very, very important things to them with their insistence. I've never seen it happen, but everybody follows the rules there. It's an expensive theater, so you don't typically go there to break the rules. But they are insistent, we will throw you out if you're on your phone. We will throw you out if you're talking during the movie. No refunds, just there's the door. And while I will tell you, it is incredibly distracting to have waitstaff flitting through the theater the whole movie. I mean, it's part of what you're there for. You know that that's what you're going to get when you go there. And it just seems like a very strange, reversal of their, like, primary reason that you go there, which is that they have this very, very, in a time when theaters are rowdier than ever, and it's very hard to go to a theater without a bunch of, like, 15-year-olds, like, running up and down the aisle screaming at each other. That is the place where you know when you go there, you're going to not have to deal with that. And it feels very strange. And I'll tell you what it feels like. It feels absolutely like it's just about cutting jobs, which is also itself a bummer. I was there over the Christmas break, and I was kind of remarking to myself at the number of employees that they had between people that were running the food, people that were taking orders on food, people that are obviously, they have some form of, short order cooking the food. I was surprised by the number of employees that they had, and I was pleasantly surprised by it because, more jobs is a good thing. And I just can't help but feel that that's what this is really about. They're like, man, we can do it with half the staff if we don't have people that need to take the orders.
Having not been there, did you write down your order and hand it to somebody, or did they come to you and you verbally told them what you wanted?
Before the film starts, a waiter goes to each seat and says, what would you like to order?
Right, right.
And then they bring that out to you. Uh-huh. And then if you want to order something during the movie, you would take there's a little tiny light under your seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you would take a pencil and the card, and you'd write down, pizza, please. And
okay, so you would write that down. You wouldn't just call them out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You would... You weren't like hollering at waitstaff during the movie.
Well, I don't mean that. Like, I knew there was a button. I've been in different theaters that have that where you can
order food. Yeah, there's a few others that have something similar.
So I've been there where you can hit the buzzer. I didn't remember if when they come out, do you have to tell them, hey, I want the chicken tenders, or if you had to write it down or whatever. And that's what I was clearing up. Yeah,
that'd be bad.
Yeah. But it is still fairly distracting having them zip back and forth during the movie. And this doesn't solve that problem. This doesn't solve the problem of there's waiters, you know, zipping back and forth in front of you while you're watching the movie, bringing people their nachos.
Do you guys ever sneak look at your phone?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes,
no.
Every time, all the time.
I'm addicted to my phone. What kind of question is that?
Yeah, my screen time. I look at
my
phone.
I'm looking at my phone right now.
Me too. I look at my phone 11 hours a day, according to screen time. I will.
In movies.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, never.
Goodness,
never
everywhere. This thing's going into the MRI machine with me. I will sit, if I'm going to a movie that I don't really care about or a theater I don't really care about, like the one in Alton, I will sit in the back corner of the movie theater so I can look at my phone whenever I want without disturbing the people around me. I'm living my life around when I can look at my phone. I love to look at phone. It's very important.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $15 to look at my phone, though.
Well, that's the difference between me and you, brother.
Like, if I'm paying and it's a movie that I want to be at, I'm not looking at anything but that damn movie.
Well, keep in mind, there are a lot of movies I'm going to that I don't want to
I get
be
you.
At.
I get you. You're doing your duty.
Yeah, I didn't really care about the live-action Little Mermaid remake,
in that
which was
case,
fine.
In that case, I might do it. I very rarely, though, go to a movie at the theater that is not one that, like, we both really
want
to see.
Sometimes you just want a big bowl of popcorn, and you don't really care what the movie is.
Yeah, the thing about Alamo, I don't know that I've ever had, like, a meal at a movie theater. It doesn't appeal to me that much.
I get it.
Like, the thought of getting, like, sliders or something, or mozzarella sticks. I like those things.
I've never gotten
food. I don't really
want
to eat hot wings while I watch the movie.
Oh, it's so good that way.
I've gotten, like, popcorn. They have great popcorn at the Alamo.
Oh, but it's great for food at those places when you get it that way, too.
My wife will get, like, and it's crazy. She'll get, like, avocado toast, or she's gotten, like, a flatbread pizza thing before. And it's, like, watching her try and eat avocado toast with, like, seven different things on it in a dark movie theater while she's watching a movie. It's crazy to
See,
watch.
I've said this before. I'm like that about the ballpark. That I know that Bush is now known for having all these different foods and Asian food and Mexican food and this and that. And the farthest I've ever gone is a Chicago beef sandwich at Wrigley. Other than that, I'm a hot dog nachos beer guy. I'm just not interested in having a sit-down meal sitting in the stands at a baseball game. I mean, to each their own. I'd want you guys to have it. It just doesn't appeal to me.
I'm kind of, I guess I'm with you on that, too. I mean, I would, I guess. I mean, there's like Plantain Girl, right? They have like a place at the ballpark now. I could maybe eat one of those sandwiches. I could be convinced to do that. They're delicious, but it's like kind of the same way. It's like I just want like a hot dog and a soda. I don't want to have like a meal like kind of awkwardly while I'm twisting my legs to hold the plate.
I'm going to the Blues game tonight for the first time in a few years.
Oh, fun.
Nick's birthday was yesterday, so taking everyone to the game.
You'll be having a steak, of course. And
well, I was going to say
a bottle of wine.
What's the food like at Enterprise? Just normal?
Yeah, normal. I mean, I they probably have added some things. I haven't been to a game this year, so I don't know if they've added anything this year.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing anything like fancy there, like compared to like Busch Stadium or the soccer park.
Those soccer park is clearly different, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like its own thing with all the local places.
Yeah, I shouldn't have even brought that into.
And
that's
then
true. It's like
Busch is a lot more like that. Like, you know, that's something that in baseball in general they've been pushing more for is more cool like local type foods inside the stadium that are from restaurants that are good. But I honestly haven't, I haven't been this year, so I don't know if they've added anything or not.
Earlier in the show, I started to say something about Rach, and got distracted. In the office today, she wasn't feeling well, feeling kind of tired. She's like, oh man, I wish I could lay down. And so for a few minutes, she put her head down on her desk. And I thought it was so adorable first, and it took me back to grade school so hard. Because remember, like in grade school, if you weren't feeling well, the teacher would be like, David, just sit down and put your head on the desk.
Put your head down,
But it was like a little Hawaiian vacation back then. Like you had permission to just have your head on the desk.
Man, I loved getting sent to the nurse's office
because
it's like, I'm feeling better already. I'm laying on the cot. It's dark in here. It's cold. I don't have to be in class right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, just put your head down on your desk for a second. I would always try to sleep during study hall in high school, too. Mm-hmm. This will shock you. I could never fall asleep around other people. And I would try so hard.
Do I see the Six Flags thing? I don't understand it, but I guess they're folding the tent or something, and the company has applied for a new name called the Enchantment something.
Enchanted Parks.
Enchanted Parks, which just sounds stupid.
All Six Flags or just our Six Flags?
Just, well, St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis is the one they're talking about.
Okay, so there's
six. That's going to be sad if it's not Six Flags.
Oh, okay, actually, their Enchanted Parks is also seeking trademarks for Kansas City, Michigan, Queensbury, New York, Galveston, Texas, a couple other places.
Is Six Flags pretty threadbare? I haven't been in years.
Yeah, I have not been in 20 years.
I mean, I haven't been in like a decade, but I mean, it sucked when I was there.
Wasn't Travis Kelce involved in this?
In some way.
Oh, yeah.
He's part of the investment group that's doing this. And I thought they mentioned, I mean, they didn't say anything, I don't think, about the names, but they definitely said they want to make the experience better for people. And I can kind of understand it. I mean, I didn't have as big an attachment to Six Flags as a kid because we didn't go there. We went to Cedar Point, which is, you know, it's actually, I think it's the same company now, but it was just Cedar Point. It wasn't tied to it. So I don't have like the childhood memory attachment to it, but if it gives them something new to market and promote and gives you something, some new things to look at, probably not a terrible idea to freshen it up.
Isn't Cedar Point known for its
roller coasters?
Roller coasters.
Yeah. Yeah. Badass.
See, lost on me.
I am not sure, though, if this is affiliated with Travis Kelce, this Enchanted Park situation.
This
could be an outside company seeking to buy these Six Flags properties. Because I don't see anything that connects Travis Kelce with Enchanted Parks.
Good.
Yeah, I could be wrong. It's a developing story, folks.
Yeah.
Like the monkeys.
We will be following it closely.
Yeah.
We have a monkey update?
They stopped searching for the monkeys.
Yeah.
They gave up.
We've given up on the monkeys because it became impossible to track them, because every time you'd open any kind of app, you'd see a million social, right. You'd like faked pictures. And not just pictures like the one I saw where all the monkeys and the goat are taking selfies,
sure,
in front of the arch.
Yeah, right.
Like real, just regular photos.
Yes.
And it's like, look, I saw one outside of Joya's. And then it's like, no, you didn't. That's an AI picture.
The one with the monkey in the lady's front seat.
Yeah.
The floorboard. That fooled me.
Was that not real?
I guess it wasn't.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
I asked the newsroom. They said they didn't think it was.
Yeah. Wow. Or maybe the monkey just got away. Put me on the
DG, as we have the think tank coming up at 4. We do that every Tuesday. Today we have Kurt Barr and Daniela Velasquez, city alderman. Love both those guys. Zoe Saldana has surpassed Scarlett Johansson to become the highest grossing actor of all time. Thanks to Avatar, Fire, and Ash, her movies have now earned $16.8
billion. Dang.
Damn.
That's a lot of money.
Sure is. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Avatar, man. Et cetera. You know, all that other stuff.
God, that movie sucked. Dude, they're making more of them. They're going to make part 4 and 5, apparently.
That movie sucked so hard.
Yeah, they're not great. The first one was great because of the visual. Like, it was great to look at. It was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Story could have used some work. And then the other ones after that, it's just like, you got to be better.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
Please.
Blue.
Is it based on like a book or something, or this all came out of James Cameron's head?
I think it's all
out
James
of
Cameron.
His noodle.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then they mate with their tails?
Their hair braids.
Their hair braids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did he want to do that?
Mm.
Did he ever say anything?
So he addressed that he never found out where babies come from. So he was like,
he took a shot in the dark.
This is my best guess. This is my best guess.
It could have
been
worse. It could have been the way Andrew thought that babies were made. So
James Cameron was like, I looked around, I noticed all them ladies got long hair. I was thinking, hey, that's probably it.
Figured that must be it. People are talking about the opposite of a use it or no. A use it or lose it skill. Okay? So something that if you don't do it often, you lose.
Yes.
Spelling.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. As a former Spelling Bee champion myself, and as somebody who is now barely able to spell his own name, I think I have gotten much stupider with age, but also I think my spelling skills have atrophied just for not having to really use them much.
Social skills. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, very much.
I could see that.
I still think we as a society are recovering from COVID. When we didn't deal with people at all for a whole year, and we just lost all ability to act like humans in public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that can go back to our movie theater conversation.
Bingo.
Yeah. Math. I think that goes without saying.
I would agree.
Flexibility. Physical flexibility.
Ooh, can speak to that. It's almost like you aimed that at me.
Mm-hmm. Foreign languages.
Mm-hmm. Would agree.
That was the number one answer, actually.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you would, I guess it makes sense that you would forget that if you're not like using it.
You just get really slow at it.
Yeah.
And then you got to work back up.
Do you ever dream in French?
Yes.
Really?
I do. Not like I used to.
That's fun.
When we were there for a month, about a week in, I started dreaming in French and it was like the weird, I'm like, what is happening?
That's fun.
Yeah, it has happened to me. Yeah.
Do you ever like almost speak French? Like, do you have things that are more French than English in your mind? Like,
no, okay. I mean, it would be when you were like studying for a big exam or, you know, like when we went over there, but not in normal day to day stuff.
Alec Baldwin has a hot take on the Beatles.
Oh, boy.
I saw this.
Yeah, he does.
He thinks that John Lennon and Paul McCartney were romantically in love, and that's why Yoko Ono wanted to split them up before they got together.
Why does everything come back on Yoko? Like, give the lady a break.
Yeah, Dave, you're the Beatles expert. Mm-hmm. How big a role did Yoko play in that? Because you always hear the story like, Yoko broke up the Beatles. Would that have happened anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were all done.
So that was more of a sign that it was done as opposed to the cause of it being done.
Yeah, my understanding and my gut is that Paul was the taskmaster. And he was the one that was always forever trying, hey, let's get in the studio, let's that.
I get you.
George was just done years before that. Ringo was very sensitive. John was kind of an a-hole. And I think the Yoko thing was just sort of like the match that lit the tinder. Dave Murray joins us, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Two years ago today, we had a temperature of -7.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. How quickly we forget that.
Yeah, we really do.
It's like by design, though, because that's so terrible.
What? Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I see what you're saying.
I don't want to remember.
I got you.
Sorry.
I thought Kevin was doing some conspiracy theory stuff.
No.
Yeah, well, that's how they made it.
It's just a dumb joke.
That's how they designed it, isn't it?
It really stopped all of us in our tracks, didn't it? We're all like, no.
Well, so you know, the good sign.
Weird turn from Kevin?
The good sign of a good joke is when people don't get it. Fail by Wheeler.
Sign of a bad joke is when you have to explain it.
Yep, that's exactly right. Exactly. I'll just shut up now.
It's weird. Like, I'm going to a Blues game tonight in the middle of January, and I may not even wear a coat.
I didn't wear one today.
Yeah, it's 60s.
But it changes tomorrow, right, Dave?
Yeah, there's a cold front coming through. It comes through late tonight, but I'm thinking it really comes through in the morning on Wednesday. A lot of clouds around in the morning. Could be a sprinkle of rain. Could even be a snow flurry. And then clearing skies in the afternoon. Gusty winds from the northwest. Temperatures tomorrow are in the 30s. And by this time tomorrow, we should be about 32, 33 degrees. 18 for the overnight low Wednesday night. Thursday, sunny. 32 for the high. The next cold front comes through late Thursday night, early Friday. Maybe a little light snow, flurry activity late Thursday night. With that front, will be 26. So anything we see would be snow. I don't think it's much. However, the really cold air does not really get into place very, very quickly. So it's going to get up to about 42 degrees. on Friday. Mm-hmm. That's in the morning. Then dropping temperatures during the afternoon. Partly sunny Saturday, 29. That's the high. Sunday, sunny and 26. That should go into Monday also.
Dave, why do I feel an ass kicking coming in February?
Because, well, I kind of thinking that. That's kind of what the winter forecast was all about. That mm-hmm. January would be one of these months where by the end of it, we'd say, okay, yeah, we had a little cold air. Didn't have a lot of cold air. Had a couple of mild days. Made it nice. So it was, I've always called January kind of a non-winter month for St. Louis, this particular January.
Okay. Update on Janice. How are we doing?
We see the doctor tomorrow. We see him every week, getting to know him quite well.
Yeah, quite well.
And so she is 4 weeks in to at least a 6-week healing process. So we're hoping that he sees something in the x-ray that says, okay, it's starting to pull together nicely, starting to gel, whatever bones do. And but I think she'll still be in the splint. I don't think he's going to get her out of that.
When you are in this position, going to see a doctor, especially a specialist. I remember when Nick was born, his mom spiked 105 fever and he had a pneumothorax and he spent his first 2 days in ICU. And I walked in on him getting a spinal tap and getting circumcised. That's why we're so close. But Dave, don't you just feel absolute, total, 100% gratitude that people go to school as long as they do do what these guys do?
Yes, yes. And I've mentioned this before. I really like this guy. One thing that he does that I've never had with a doctor, especially when it comes to, you know, like if you have to take the splint off and rewrap it, he wants you to know how to do it. And he says, give me your phone and we record it. We record exactly how he wraps that and how the arm position should be. And if he's looking at x-rays, he'll want to explain the x-ray by way of your phone. And I love it because you can go back. You can go back in time and say, I don't think I'm doing this right. And then say, ah, okay, here's what you do. And I've never had a doctor do that. I mean, the AI thing is there where they want to record instead of taking notes. The AI does all that stuff. But to actually take your phone and do a video of it, I like it a lot.
Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Bill and Hillary Clinton will defy the House Oversight Committee's deadlines to sit for closed-door depositions in its Jeffrey Epstein investigation. They're telling the Republican chairman to go ahead and hold them in contempt of Congress. It's just really, like, why would you... I gotta wonder, like, why wouldn't you just...
Go do it.
Yeah, you got nothing to.
Well, why wouldn't you just walk around Times Square with a big sign that says "I'm guilty"?
I just wanted to be consistent. Whether it's Steve Bannon or Bill Clinton or Andrew Stolz, when someone is subpoenaed by Congress, I just think that we should be able to predict it. If you don't go, you're going to be held in contempt. You might even go to jail, like Bannon did. Just the whole, seemingly to me at least, willy-nilliness of, oh, you're fine, you're not, you're fine, you're not. That's not the way the system should work, in my opinion.
I would like to state on the air that, to the best of my knowledge, I am not in the Epstein files.
It's very interesting because...
Choppelganger might be.
Choppelganger could be.
Just a couple weeks ago, Bill Clinton was like, yeah, you guys should release all of it. I don't think should be protecting anyone. Okay, then go sit for your deposition, bro. Mm-hmm. What's up?
I don't know, man. You're going to have lawyers there. I mean, it's not like you're going to be there alone, helpless, right. Like some
Bill Clinton's not going to be in like a dark room with a spotlight shining in his eyes while they yell questions
and
at him.
Even if he was. Maybe it shouldn't have been photographed so
and if
much.
If he looks bad, who cares?
Yeah, like, I don't care about protecting Bill Clinton at all. I don't know anyone who does. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't personally know anyone out there who's like, leave him alone on this one, guys. Like, no. If he was doing stuff he shouldn't have been doing, let's hold him accountable.
Isn't it amazing how little we're talking about the Epstein files now?
Well.
Yeah. I mean.
When you got all this other stuff, things get
stepped on. It's not like there's nothing else going on.
Well, and it's, you know, It's not like it's all in some way related.
To what degree do you think it's by design? Because Donald Trump gets a lot of credit. Mike Elam was talking about it last week. The whole sleight of hand thing and look over here so I can do this. Do you feel like that is a big part of it? Or do you think that's just a narrative?
I think he's excellent at doing that. I've never believed in the, it's 4D chess. He's so smart, but he knows how to work the media. That's his like number one gift. He knows how to whip people up, and he does know how to divert focus and get you talking about what he wants you talking about. I think that's blatantly obvious, just observing him in this position for the past 10 years.
I mean, the term wag the dog is decades old. You know, I mean, I would doubt that I would be shocked if you didn't have this happening with damn near every president that we can think of in modern times, where there's something coming out they don't want people to talk about or some scandal. And then they take some other action to distract from it. I mean, in the 90s,
yeah, I think you're right.
The accusation was that the Clintons did this when the Lewinsky scandal was breaking. Didn't they bomb Sudan or something along those lines? I mean, right, almost the exact same time, and that was the accusation. Who knows if, like, I don't know for real that it was like, this is what we're doing to take a distraction. But, you know, if you look at where scandals come out and other things that surrounded it, it's not uncommon to see people throw flak into the air to try to distract from a story they don't want people talking about. That's probably been going on as long as any of us have been on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. While we're talking about Trump, can I talk about one more thing that's bothering me, but it's very petty? The whole Trump and Kennedy Center, I hate that so much. And I would hate it if it were the George Washington and Chester Arthur Center. It's just dumb. It's just dumb. Like, put aside that I don't like Donald Trump as a president and replace him with someone who I did like. It's just dumb. We look douchey. There, I just had to say that.
Let's see. Gavin Newsom has pledged to block the billionaire wealth tax initiative in California. I think I told you guys about this last week. Lawmakers in California have proposed a one-time 5% tax on residents with more than $1 billion in assets. But Gavin Newsom is vowing to campaign against it if voters see it in November. He says he needs to do what he has to do to protect the state. Doesn't want to drive any of these rich folks out of the state.
He's going to need their support when he runs for president.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, come on. Could it be any more naked than that?
Dave, how's he thought of in general in California?
Yeah, it's interesting. There are some polls that think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. There's others that say, oh, my word. Yeah. If the country wants him, just see what he did to California and you'll know it's going to happen.
I feel like
it's really across the board.
I feel like he's starting too early. I just feel like he's going to peak and we're just going to kind of get tired of him.
Apple has dethroned Samsung as the top smartphone maker. New figures from market research firm Counterpoint show that Apple captured 20% of the global smartphone shipments in 2025. That's just ahead of Samsung at 19%.
I'm shocked that it wasn't iPhone. I would have just assumed it was like triple anyone else.
GameStop is closing 5 St. Louis area stores as part of a nationwide wave of closures. Did you see this, Andrew? They're closing the one in the Alton Square Mall.
I did. That one's actually been gone for a little while, but it's across the street now.
Oh, they moved it out of the mall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's next to the Wingstop and the Applebee's and stuff. And yeah, I'm not super surprised to see GameStop suffering a bit. The one that was on Route 3 is gone now also. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, there's not so much of buying games is done digitally now that there's just not as much of a reason.
Power to the players.
There are a few places ever felt less comfortable walking into than a GameStop.
Oh, it's the best. I walk in, they know my name.
Oh, my God.
Wheels, what's up?
Anything about it, and I'd walk in there, and I'm like, there's a game with a guy named Link. I think he's a puppet.
Okay, so all of these iconic characters enter the public domain, and then they make a horror movie out of them. We saw it happen with Winnie the Pooh. Now they're speculating the next character that could have, like, a slasher film
Dave Murray.
Based around her, Betty Boop.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
So she became public domain on January 1st at midnight.
Why does it? Why does that happen like that? Did we ever get to the bottom of that? Like, why? Is it just that nobody wants Betty Boop, or can you just not hold?
It expires over time.
You just can't have it for that long?
You can't hold that license indefinitely.
No, it's 100 years, right?
It becomes public domain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That seems weird to me. Yep. I don't know.
One more story for you guys before we go to break. Lego and Pokemon have unveiled their first ever Lego Pokemon sets, launching February 27th. And pre-orders open today on lego.com/Pokemon and Pokemon Center. So it's going to include 5 fan-favorite Pokemon, Pikachu, Eevee, Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise.
When I took Nick to see the first Pokemon movie, it's before I had discovered gummies. Mm-hmm. The first 20 minutes of the Pokemon movie, had I been on gummies, I would have eaten at least one person's face.
It's like, what's happening?
I have never felt that crazy in my life.
I love that movie. Man, I bawled like a little baby, and I was basically a baby when I watched that movie, so...
It's funny, I'm a baby.
I've heard that.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
DGS think tank coming up in just a few minutes. Wheels, what's white people food?
Well, it's a thing that's trending in China. So they think it's hilarious that we tend to, and by the way, their focus mostly is like Europe. It's mostly like Great Britain. It's not so much U.S., but in the way it's described, it's kind of us too, because we have a lot of British things. But it's how most of our lunches are cold and kind of plain, like sandwiches and things along those lines, and they just think it's hilarious. So it's a combination of things where in the story that I read, it's kind of a joke, like they're making fun of how dumb we are for eating dumb, boring, cold food, you know, like turkey sandwiches and things that they look at and go, argh. But now it's become a trend there in restaurants and stores are stocking white people food.
Oh, wow.
But they also call it dry lunch, and that's the name that they're selling. It's called dry lunch. And apparently now it's become both a joke and a thing that people want to do.
How about that?
Isn't that weird?
I'm looking at a post here. It says, I was so tired I ate a white people meal today. And it's a carrot with a piece of cheese wrapped around it.
Yeah, a lot of the pictures in the story I was reading about it are, again, plain old. Like they find it bizarre that we will just eat like a white bread sandwich with ham and cheese. Like they're like, that's it? That's
so I guess lunch is a bigger deal. More detailed.
Or it's just that their food is different than ours. You know, I mean, I don't know exactly what the typical meal would be for a person to have lunch in China.
Yeah.
But it sounds like in the descriptions of it that it would be something maybe hot, maybe a little bit more seasoned and spiced up as opposed to, you know, just plain ass sandwiches and things like that.
Rach, can you pretty much get anything you want in Japan?
Food
wise?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can get, like, they have McDonald's and stuff. But the thing about Japan and their, like, lunches and their konbini food is there's such, like, if you go into Quick Trip, there's a pretty good selection of, like, deli sandwiches and you got the chicken rollers and what have you. At a convenience store in Japan, they have, like, so many options. Like, they have the onigiri, they have different sandwiches you can pick up. They're very cheap, it's quick, and it's very good quality and very delicious.
I was going to say, how's the quality for what it is compared to the quality of like your typical gas station food, or not just gas station, but like convenience store food here?
You know, I'm sure part of it is novelty for me that I enjoy it so much, but I mean, I do genuinely crave and want to go to the 7-Eleven and get a sandwich from there. It's just really well done. It's switched out frequently or, you know, sold on a schedule to where you're not going to get something old and gross. And yeah, it's just nice. There's a lot of emphasis put on convenience because so many people, you know, they don't, it's not like people are driving much in Tokyo. There's cars everywhere, but most people are taking the trains and stuff. And it's like, I'll just pop in here and get something good to eat. It's just a lot easier to feed yourself and rely on getting like a pretty good meal kind of anywhere you go.
Can I? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask if I could change the subject to the top story on TMZ right now.
Sure.
Which is what?
Somebody at the Ford plant that Trump was visiting today called him a pedo protector, and Trump flipped the guy off.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, honestly, if somebody called me that, I might do the same thing.
There's video on TMZ. It's just very funny.
I'm looking that up right now.
This is like just breaking right this second, so I was like, this is too funny to pass.
I mean, how many people, I don't know, I feel like that's, how would you respond, Dave, if somebody yelled that at you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable
probably the same way.
Yeah.